Hello and welcome to the Real Jaws Minute. I am Jeremy Sternhagen.
Ahoy, hoy, I'm Tyson Ferris.
And Tyson, we're here to talk about the 1977 classic, epic, Orca.
Yeah. So you made me watch this.
Yeah. So in deciding what Jaws ripoffs we were going to watch, you know, it's a long list, and there you can go deep on this list. There's movies that, you know, you can even debate, are they Jaws ripoffs? You know, there's Bug and Grizzly and Tarantula and all these other things, but I kind of wanted to stick with the water-going Jaws ripoffs, and I wanted to kind of stick with the semi-upper-level talent. You know, I didn't want to go deep into the scraping the bottom of the barrel, even though there's some good movies down there.
Well, you're certainly not scraping the bottom of the barrel as far as cast goes here.
Or behind this camera talent, I think.
Yeah, this is a great, this is a great cast.
Yeah. So I will say that I did this one of all the ones we're going to watch.
I was shocked by this cast, actually.
Yeah. So I was going to say that in trying to, you know, so for our listeners, the movies that we've picked, Orca, Piranha, Alligator, I brought those up that we should watch those. And there's still other movies on this list that we are probably going to discuss. But I really wanted to talk about Orca probably first and foremost because it's the first of the quote unquote Jaws ripoffs. It came out 2 years after Jaws. However, there is some debate in the film world that maybe the first Jaws ripoff, or maybe not ripoff, but the first movie to capitalize on the success of Jaws was King Kong from 76, also made by Dino De Laurentiis. Have you seen that?
I have.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah. And the reason that one got made is mainly because suddenly the idea of like giant monster movies was bankable, and King Kong was a huge success. And then Dino De Laurentiis, he had already had the idea to do Orca before even King Kong had come out.
But not before Jaws.
Not before Jaws, no.
Yeah.
And so he
is quoted to say, I just saw Jaws. Find me a fish that's scarier than a great white shark.
Yes. And that is exactly, that's basically, if you want to summarize this movie, it's about a killer whale that's more badass than a great white shark.
They make that point very clear.
Oh yes. Repeatedly. The, orcas, killer whales are geniuses. They're the apex predator. They're the only, basically the cast of this movie. Well, we'll get into that as we get kind of discuss the movie point by point, but this movie is doing its best to convince you that killer whales are the absolute coolest thing on the planet.
Yeah, they're like sign language chimps. Nope, orca. It's like dolphin. Even dolphin from that Spielberg. What was it? Sequest DSV.
Oh, Sequest DSV, starring Brody.
Starring Roy.
Yep.
Even the talking dolphin in that one. It has nothing on orcas.
Did that show, was the dolphin's voice like synthesized? Like the dolphin would talk and then a computer would translate it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It had like this translator helmet.
I remember that.
It was basically the dog from Up.
Okay.
But a dolphin.
I love you.
And the dolphin was smart, you know, whereas the dog was dumb. No one needs to know what a dog's saying. We already know what the dog is thinking. Yeah. That was the genius of that, though.
I remember that show being squirrel? So advertised.
Squirrel?
Squirrel. I remember Sequest being so advertised that by the time it was premiering, I was so stoked for that show. I'm like, yes, it's Star Trek, but with submarines. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yep.
And I think I don't even know if I made it to the end of the first season. I might have made it to the end of the first season, but I think I quit after that.
I was also very hyped about this show, and I don't think I made it through the first season.
Yeah.
Oh. So.
We're in the same boat.
Yeah.
The I can tell you the first time I saw this movie was probably right around the time, Orca that is, right around the time I saw Jaws for the first time.
Okay.
And I think I mentioned this when we were talking about Jaws 2, that I didn't have the, I had no preconceived notions about Jaws or Jaws 2 or any other Jaws ripoffs. I was just like, oh, Jaws is the movie about great whites. Orca is the movie about killer whales. They're all on equal footing to me. And I distinctly remember watching Orca for the first time and kind of having the impression that, like, this movie is a little darker than Jaws. It's a little duller than Jaws. But I do remember, if the movie's job was to convince me that an orca could kick a great white's butt, this movie convinced me of that. Sure. Wholeheartedly. And I do remember coming out of this movie going like, yeah, orcas are rad. Like, I like, they're so much better than great white sharks. Nothing about the movie, yeah. Just a general perception of a great white versus a killer whale.
Yeah. So yeah, general, if we're talking about general perception of this movie, I just, I don't know. Are we getting into the film now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The thing that just kept on me the entire time I was watching this is,
and you had never seen this before.
We never seen this.
Right.
And I did not go in with any expectations. I was like, come on, movie, you know, take me away. That's how I'm doing all of these. And that's how I literally do any movie. I want movies to succeed. Mm-hmm. I'm a movie lover and I want movies, mm-hmm, to make me love them.
Okay.
So, I think I give movies a longer stick than sometimes they deserve.
Okay.
The thing that kept creeping into my, it just was there the entire time I was watching this. There's just a mean spirit,
mm-hmm,
to this film.
Yeah.
There's just a, I don't know, there's just this through line, no matter what happens, no matter how likable somebody is or how unlikable somebody is, there's like this through line that's just kind of at the heart of this picture that just kind of mean and not,
yeah,
kind of nasty in a way. And right. I just couldn't shake it. I was like, I don't know if I'm totally.
I think I know, if I may, I think here's, because I've seen this movie probably somewhere between 5 and 10 times. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. But I enjoy it almost in a, I'm a glutton for punishment kind of way.
Yeah, I had a thought that I'm going to forget if I don't say it. I think Seven has that.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a, I kind of want to take a shower after I watch this feeling.
Yeah.
That this movie has, and not in a good way, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Seven has it in a great way, I think.
My perception is, and I can say this about a lot of movies, is with Jaws, first of all, these characters that you've come to know in Jaws, like, you want to hang out with them, whether it's Hooper, Brody, or Quint. Like, I want to hang out with all of them separately or together. And also the story that's unfolding, like, I want to see where it's going. It's just, I'm compelled to see the story. And forget about the filmmaking craft that went behind Jaws and, you know, the editing and the cinematography, all that is great. But just simply, here are your characters, here's the story, you want to know where it goes. And there are stakes. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a town at stake, there's a commerce at stake, there's lives at stake. The difference about Orca as a, you know, murdering fish story is the way the story is presented is not it's not nature on the loose. It's a different kind of movie. And basically what that means is the characters and what they're trying to do, I don't want to be there. Like, I don't want to be with Richard Harris on his mission, mm-hmm, it's his very personal, intimate mission. Like, there's nothing compelling me as a viewer to go along on this ride with him.
Sure.
Cause I'm just going like, just like the characters say to him in the movie, like, I think you should get as far away from here as possible. And Like that's what the Native American says. And then the
I'm like, yeah, he absolutely should.
Yeah. And then Dr. Bedford is like, you're not going to go out there, are you? And he says like, well, you know, maybe I will, or maybe I won't, maybe I'll just do that. And as an audience member, you're just kind of going like, yeah, like you idiot. You screwed up right out of the gate in this movie. You should just leave. And that's kind of as an audience member, you know that that's what he should do. And so anyway, all that to say, it's hard as an audience member to find your way into this story.
It's a bit of it's a bit of an English patient, isn't it?
Yes. Oh my goodness. That's a great analogy. I just don't want to be there. Like these people are miserable.
Yeah. I don't want to be here. I don't want to know these people. I don't like these people.
And there's no, and Jaws has like humor slid into it. And you know, it's fun. There's amusing, like everyone's, you know, even in Jaws, like when things are at their worst, like there's a few jokes, you know?
Yeah, and there's, but even when, yeah, Jaws is at its worst, I don't feel like it's, God, it's hard to put my thumb on exactly what irks me about this film. Like, there's just like a, just an inherent, I don't know, kind of meanness to everything. Where just Jaws, even when Jaws is like killing little children and stuff, it never feels mean. Do you know what I mean?
That's what sharks do.
That's what happened. Whereas there's like maybe it's because there's like psychology of the shark involved or the, the whale involved.
Right.
And,
they present the orca as
the whale has been wronged. I think there's a, you know what? It can be summed up really quickly. I think I'm just coming along this just naturally here. So sorry if I stumble a little bit, but, when he's talking to the priest, he's like, can you commit a sin against an animal?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, absolutely. You can. Like, I think most people would say, yes, that's true. Unless you're just awful, I guess. But can you commit a sin against an animal? Absolutely. And did you? Absolutely. 100%. Like,
so a thing that where this movie's strength is also its weakness.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go into
should we start going through chronologically on this thing or?
Sure. Actually, you just reminded me that I have a lot of notes on who made this movie and who's in it.
Okay.
And we can save that for the end.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we should,
go through the movie beat by beat.
Yeah. I mean, just a little bit,
but
we don't have to like,
hang a little bit.
Hang on.
Well, let me get this thought out because I'll also forget it.
Yeah.
Is, of course, you start this movie and you just assume as an audience goer that like, okay, this is Richard Harris. This is who I'm rooting for when you start this movie. But basically right out of the gate, this movie presents the killer whale as the hero. Like he saves the guy in the water by killing the great white shark.
Yeah.
And so you're immediately, what this movie does is it puts our protagonist and the killer whale kind of on equal footing. And if anything, it presents the killer whale as the sympathetic character in this storyline.
Yeah. So
and
then, yeah, right off the bat, you get, by the way, the shark footage,
Ron and Valerie. Yeah. Yep.
So,
and so where the movie struggles or where the movie has all the meat on its bones to make it an interesting character study is there is no hero or villain in this movie. There's just there's a force of nature and a guy and that's where the movie struggles. I think is as an audience member, you're just like, I'm just here to see entertaining man versus beast entertainment. But the movie is honestly a little deeper than that and it gets confusing.
Yeah. Or it wants to be deeper than that,
but it doesn't pull it off. I think it does it sometimes.
And it I'll does get sometimes.
Let's go through the plot and then, or do you want to go through the kind of the behind the scenes?
So just right out of the gates, I want to say Richard Harris turned down working with Ingmar Bergman for this film.
And he still, to his dying day, spoke positively of Orca. He was proud of it and was proud of working on it. But
but apparently he thought that that might have been a slip on his part.
Do you know what the movie would have been? I don't know what Ingmar Bergman was like, doing in the 70s.
I can't remember offhand. It's something like The Serpent's Egg or something.
Oh, well, that would have probably done to...
Also, he's 46 years old in this film. How is that possible?
Is this the Quint conversation we had
I
with...
I think so.
For anyone who has
a hard 46.
Smoking and drinking, man.
Jeez Louise.
Isn't Richard Harris kind of like notorious for just, he lived 1,000 lives when he was around?
Well,
like,
I think Richard Harris, I mean, he might have been, I don't know, he just had better genes than Robert Shaw and lasted longer.
Or didn't drink quite as much.
But my understanding is his getting and carrying on was pretty good.
Both Irish too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Ooh, man. So we have our Irish fish hunters movies.
And I don't want to, not to paint a broad brush on the Irish, but those guys are not making them look good.
We're not going to tell you any story stereotypes you haven't already heard.
Yeah. Why did God invent booze? I don't know if you know that old Irish joke.
Nope.
Why did God invent booze?
Why?
Because he didn't want the Irish to take over the world.
Perfect. Do you want to go through the cast one by one?
Well, I'm just kind of rolling through my notes here.
Okay.
Not just cast, but I'm kind of in credits here. Ennio Morricone.
Yes.
Am I saying that, Ennio?
I say Ennio Morricone.
Yeah, Morricone.
I can't claim I'm definitely right, but I think that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah, he did the music for this.
He sure did.
I was excited when I saw that credit come up. I was like, oh, wow, big guns.
I think it has its moments.
Yeah.
It's subdued.
Yeah.
Ennio Morricone is in my top three composers of all time.
Sure.
And in no particular order, John Williams, Jerry Goldsmith, Ennio Morricone. And Ennio Morricone, he might get special mention, not as the best of those three for me, but where I will set him apart is his range is insane. Mm-hmm. Like, listen to the score for The Mission and then listen to the score for The Thing and then listen to the score for Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. They don't sound...
And then listen to the score for The Untouchables, which is one of my very favorites.
Or Wolf, the Jack Nicholson. Like, the guy, like, you can listen to three of his scores and have no idea that it's by the same guy. Like, he is range.
He's like the Ron Howard of composing.
Yeah, yeah. And he's still around, too. He just did, didn't he do Tarantino's last movie? He did Hateful Eight.
He did Hateful Eight.
He did
not do
Once Upon a Time
in Hollywood, but some of his music is in that film.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Anyway, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, one maybe the greatest score of all time. And his lit, like, he might be the most prolific composer out there, too. I bet he has 100 scores under his belt.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, this is nowhere near the top for his scores. However,
I put that it was fine. But completely meh.
Right.
In his au revoir.
Yes. But given the weird, like, depressing tone of this movie, like, the score kind of fits. I bet Ennio Morricone watched this movie and went, this movie is depressing. I'm going to write a depressing score. Because it is. It's like a tragedy. The movie is a tragedy.
It's almost like almost on a Greek scale, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Oh, yeah. And we'll get to the end, but yeah, it's just grim.
Yeah, and this whole movie's grim. There's no happiness in this film.
I feel like there is a fan edit of this movie to be made where you just straight up make Richard Harris an unsympathetic bad guy and you make the orca totally the hero and you cut out some of the sympathetic Richard Harris stuff and then you rescore the movie with like... rousing adventure music that favors the killer whale.
In that edit, how many leaps out of the water of the orca do you cut out?
Oh, like, well, I would probably...
That one leap that they use over and over and over and over and over and over again.
The straight-to-camera one or the optical composite?
Yeah, the one that's used for the optical composite. And then even in this film, they show it the actual stock footage of before it's optically composited. They use this shot so much.
All of the killer whale breaching shots where he just jumps up and splashes. I would keep the one in the opening few minutes. I like those. But
so there's one we see right at the beginning of the credit.
Yeah. It's great.
And it's the two of them. Yeah. Except it's the exact same shot, just once flipped.
You're watching Free Willy.
Yeah.
For the first 10 minutes of this movie.
That particular shot, I swear, is used 30 times in this picture.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
We're jumping ahead a little bit, but the whole the scene where he blows up the power station.
Oh God, we're getting way ahead. Okay, let's okay. So the guy gets saved by the shark or saved from the shark.
Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, is
Carradine.
Carradine from Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, there
that's,
you go.
That's I don't even. I've,
but of the famous Carradines,
yeah,
the John and
Dave. John, Dave. He's David, right? Is that his name?
Is this David?
This is Robert Carradine. Robert. So there's John and David, and so he's probably son of David.
Keith.
Okay.
Yeah. Is Keith Carradine? No.
I can't keep them all straight.
Who's Kung Fu? Is that Keith Carradine?
That is. Robert?
Who's the oldest Carradine? The patriarch Carradine.
The oldest is John, I believe, who was in...
That's John Carradine, the one that ended up hanging himself, right?
David Carradine hung himself. Yeah. That's the one who was in Kill Bill.
Yes.
That's David Carradine.
So he's the guy that started all the other Carradines.
Yes. So
I started, John, I mean father.
So John Carradine is around like in the 30s and 40s and 50s. He was in some universe. He was Dracula in House of Dracula. That's probably I know him from that. And then he was in a bunch of like Westerns when he was really old.
Mm-hmm.
And then David Carradine is the Kung Fu and Kill Bill.
Yeah.
And then Keith Carradine and Robert Carradine Keith Carradine was in Nashville, Deadwood, Dexter, and
he's amazing in Deadwood,
the
by the way.
Son of John Carradine.
Unrecognizable in Deadwood, even.
Yeah. And
I watched that entire season,
mm-hmm.
had no idea that's who was playing Kill Bill until I saw a special feature.
Wait, Kill Bill?
Or not Kill Bill, Wild Bill.
Wild
me.
Bill, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I haven't.
You're talking about Kill Bill, that's why I had it in my brain.
I haven't seen it.
You should watch it. It's great. Great Western stuff. But he was interviewing like the director and like actors and stuff, like in this, in like a DVD's like special features thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's weird that they had him come in to do that. And then all of a sudden, one of the actors like talks to him and is like, oh yeah, when you were playing Wild Bill. And I was like, wait, that's the guy that's playing Wild Bill. I was like, I had no idea. It was fantastic.
Oh, I need to see it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So where are we at? Robert Carradine, who's in this movie, is the son of John Carradine, the House of Dracula actor.
Okay.
So anyway, I had no idea it was him. And his name in the credits didn't even faze me. And then after watching the movie, I'm like, oh, it's the guy from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw Carradine in there and, you know, I knew the family name.
Yeah.
So,
Hollywood royalty. I don't know about royalty, but very famous, especially if you're a fan of your,
well, and a lot of good credits amongst all of them, honestly. Yeah.
We should do a Carradine podcast.
Yeah, there's
about 1,000 movies in there.
I mean, they're at least up there with the Fondas, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. And the Barrymores.
And the Barrymores, yep.
If there's such a thing.
Yeah.
There is a lot of other families like that, but most of them don't carry their family name. They'll just come up with a new name so they don't have to, so they can make their own, you know, Nicolas Cage.
Like the Cages.
Yep.
Yep.
So where were we? Okay, so the beginning of the movie. Robert Carradine gets saved
by the orca.
Killer whale. Yeah.
And we meet, we get Charlotte Rampling's character, which I was I was like, oh my God, she's in this. Mm-hmm. I saw her name, but then, but I only know like old Charlotte Rampling.
I only knew her, I didn't know it was her, but I know the movie Vanishing Point really well. And I knew, I'm like, oh, that's her.
Yeah.
She's the girl in that movie. And then I've never seen it, but she's in Stardust Memories. So.
Yeah. So I knew her. I've just known her from recent years from a bunch of different films. That
yeah. I've she's seen. Done a lot of TV work in the last few years, right?
Well, no, TV and film. I mean, she mm-hmm. works a lot.
Yeah.
She's in the Jennifer Lawrence movie, Red Sparrow.
Oh, okay. She was in she was in Verdict, The Verdict with Paul Newman.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't know who she was when I saw The Verdict, but I have seen that movie.
Anyway, Charlotte Rampling in this film is smoking, in my opinion. She is like a 70s
mm-hmm.
Lauren Bacall almost.
Totally. Oh yeah, she's got
those smoky eyes, you know.
She's got that look.
She's just got that look, and man, it's mm-hmm. it's working for me.
So. Yep. Never not in full makeup, even when she's sleeping.
Yes, yes. but yeah, they knew they had hot stuff on their hands, and she certainly, even though she's quite subdued, she's.
What do you think about the choice to have her narrate the movie?
I think that probably was 100% necessary. I feel like this is a.
It's like covering for scenes they didn't shoot.
I think this is like Harrison Ford a la Blade Runner. Like, we just need to make sure everybody knows what the F is going on.
Her scene in the classroom might be the all-time winning exposition scene of any movie where
doesn't
it's just
she do such a good job. She's such a good actress.
She's great.
Fantastic. The material is not.
Even but, for someone who knows nothing about killer whales,
but
everything she says, you're like, I want to believe you. You're very convincing, but I don't think that's true.
Yeah. I don't think that's right, but man, I really want to believe you.
If you say so.
Scientist lady.
Really? It's the smartest animal on the planet? Okay.
Yeah. I like the brain comparison.
Where it has the brain the size of a human?
It's even bigger than a human's. Yeah. And it's like, well, that makes sense. It's bigger than a human. So. Anyway, I don't know. So, I don't know. I really thought her performance was great. I think almost all the performances are great considering what they're working with.
I think everyone is doing exactly the job that was asked of them and doing what's on the page.
They're doing their absolute finest work considering the things that they're being told to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Richard Harris, I mean, kind of an odd choice. I don't know. He was like a big deal right around. He had probably done A Man Called Horse and Return of a Man Called Horse, Return of the Man Called Horse. I don't remember what those are called. But he was, you know, he was somebody around this time. He wasn't a has-been. This was like a big deal to him. And I don't know if he was enough to carry a movie. It's just this whole movie is like a weird choice, right? Mm-hmm. Like to go, this is the movie we're going to make. But at the same time, I totally appreciate it. Anyway, I'm getting off track.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to advocate for this movie.
Yeah.
I want to see, I know everything that's wrong with it, but yet I still feel I get something out of it.
Yeah. The performances, the note I have here, performances are really good, but the characters are just all over the place.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I feel like no one has a through line at all. Like
Richard and Charlotte.
There's no clear arc for anybody.
No. Well, they present the whole storyline with Richard Harris's, he feels guilt and the weight of all of it, but you don't get that until like halfway or even more than halfway through the movie, why he feels so much weight about it. And again, it's hard to sympathize with him. It's like he basically his storyline is he wasn't thinking. He made a mistake. He feels huge guilt for it. And then, of course, the town piles on. And then
Which I feel like he goes off really to trying make it to do right. an Amity thing there, but it's like.
Yeah.
And the character that's the worst of all of them is the Will Sampson character.
Yeah, that whole character. I want to...
Scene to scene, I'm like, his entire motivations change scene to scene. Like, it just... Like, one, he's like, oh, no, the ancients said this about the thing. And then it's like, oh, no, the townsfolk won't... You know, they're gonna hang you up if you don't go out after it. And then he's out there... And then he's like, no, but
you should just get far away from here.
Yeah.
You should take care of it.
Oh, yeah. And then he's like... No, you should take care of it. And it's like, no, you should get far away from here. And then he's like, shows up at the gas station. He's like, oh, no, we're not going to sell you gas. You need to go out there. It's like, well, which is it, dude? Like,
well, some of that stuff comes after the orca wrecks the
whole fisherman village. It's just weird. And then, he's out there. He's on the boat with him. And he's like, we're turning around and like... And then even inside that scene, he's like, oh, I guess we're not. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I just didn't get that character at all.
There's a weird aspect to all of the characters in this movie. And all, so basically the orca makes everyone pay for what Richard Harris did. And you want to be sympathetic to the orca, but he's killing all these characters who are basically on his side. Like, all of them are just like, don't screw with that orca. Like, he's smart and he's like you don't mess with them. They don't mess with you. Everybody loves orcas. And yet
I didn't feel bad about a single death in this film.
Well, because the characters are poorly drawn, but none of them have a vendetta against the orca.
Yeah,
right.
You're right. You're right.
Right.
But also I also don't think a single death in this was scary or
really.
No.
Oh, man.
I felt like they were like, I just like, oh, look, the orca's swimming really fast. I bet it's going to get that guy.
So the Keenan Wynn.
The only time I had any suspense on somebody possibly dying is when the shark is after the guy.
That was a little freaky. Yeah. Sharks just look scary.
Well, no. And then I was like, oh, and then this orca comes out, and I was like, oh, wow, that's great. I was like, I had high hopes for the movie after that scene, honestly. Yeah. I was like, wow, cool. I was like,
well, that's one thing that's a choice I love that the movie makes is they're like, okay, orcas are smart. They're kind of adorable. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to make a movie on, you know, not showing the orca. They show it all the time and they make you want to root for it.
Never in the same frame with anybody else, but...
No, it's like a bunch of SeaWorld shots, intercut. Yeah.
Boy, that's not great.
Do you know there's a lot of mechanical orcas in this movie? Like, they built fake ones.
I did read that.
Yeah.
I think they're mostly at the end.
Oh, yeah, the one that pops up on the ice floe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that doesn't hold up well. Actually,
I thought they all were pretty.
I think the effects are solid in this movie.
The effects are solid, yeah.
Except when it's obvious that they're shooting.
The reliance of editing to SeaWorld. I know it's not actually SeaWorld. It's probably, I don't know.
I think it is. It's a SeaWorld in Europe or something.
I was going to say, it's probably like Chili's SeaWorld or something. You know? anyway, yeah, there's obviously a lot of reliance on that. I never felt like the orca was
scary.
Well, I never felt like it was even like around these people.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's only happening.
It's editing.
So editing. You're like, it's the, not.
Yeah, there's no
like. It's like Jaws. Like, you're always seeing the shark.
In frame with people.
And you just never get that in this film. And I think that's a real hindrance.
It is. It's the weakest.
It's really
It might
weak.
Be the weakest point of the movie. Yeah. What I was going to say is.
But it's a big weakness if you never feel like you're.
Yeah.
You're. Thing is with the other thing.
You just feel like you're like watching this movie that they made and then like there's just cut in shots of killer whales from SeaWorld.
Yeah.
Or optical composites of killer whales breaching while something is burning. Anyway, I was going to say the Keenan Wynn, you know, when the older guy crawls out on the arm that's holding the dead female. that scared me as a kid. I was like, oh, what am I trying to say? Just the way it comes right into camera. That's a scary shot. And maybe you just, but you have to earn that. There's no like building up of tension or anything in that scene, which is kind of what caught me off guard. Cause when I was watching that originally, I remember it the first time going like, yep, he's crawling out there. Yep. Nothing's going to happen here. And blammo. And then it cuts to like the killer whale, like pulling in a G.I. Joe underwater, like this real rigid dead body. But anyway, that shot of the orca coming straight into camera, that's a great shot.
Yeah. I don't know if I recall that shot, but, it's, that one death, I will say is, surprised me the most of all of them.
Yeah. And then there's the similar one later in the movie where just some guy on the top of the boat just,
which I don't even know the physics of how that guy gets.
Yeah. Apparently off the top, he kind of leans
a little bit. And I was like, whoa, that's.
And then when the scene is over, I'm like, wait, he got him? Like, there's no like, because like you said, there's no clear shots of orcas in frame with people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm not saying I need to see the orca like actually physically eating people, like just alongside the boat. Just.
Yeah. You got a mechanical
orca there. Richard Harris, like looking and then seeing an orca, like there's none of that.
The movie almost intentionally avoids like violent scenes, like, you know, like that Jaws has, you know, where people are clearly like, I think maybe they're trying to protect the reputation of the killer whale as being a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
Anyway, Keenan Wynn, let me just quick throw this out there. One of our future movies we're going to cover, Piranha, also starring Keenan Wynn.
Cool.
In a similarly supporting role.
Okay.
Apparently he had a thing for being in Jaws ripoffs in the late 70s.
All right. And with that, I think that's a good time as any to wrap up this episode. Jeremy, where can they do all the things?
Well, if they want to talk more about this and with us, they can find us on Facebook. Look for The Real Jaws Minute. We got a Facebook group over there. You can also like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you get it. And more importantly, tell a friend. And we'll always keep this podcast free. But if you want to throw a couple bucks at us, check out the description section of this fine podcast and you will get a link to our PayPal account if you want to give us a couple bucks.
Yeah, and you can catch us next week right here on The Real Jaws Minute.
Bye.
Bye.